Insights with Jack Stogler right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's show. And now, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Welcome, everybody. Insight with Jack Stogler. Mr. Perry Hall joins me again. Hello, Perry.
Howdy, howdy, Jack.
And tonight in studio, we have a candidate for Slana Municipal Court Judge, Mr. George Moore. Welcome, George.
Thank you for having me. Nice to be here.
Well, I tell you what, we've got a night full of judge candidates here. We have you from now to about 7:30. Then we're going to have Kathleen Spielman come in, and we will you find out more about
Catherine.
What
I think it's Catherine.
Yeah,
Catherine. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow. But that's okay.
Yeah, I just call her Kathy.
Good idea.
Okay. Good enough.
is that with a K or a C?
K.
Okay, good okay. Guess. Good
thank
guess.
Thank God.
You had a 50-50 chance.
I'm 50-50 there, wasn't I? So George, I tell you, welcome to Fort Recovery Radio. Welcome to the village of Fort Recovery. So what possessed you to run for Slana Municipal Court Judge?
Well, I became licensed to practice law about 10 years ago, and I was working at Faber & Associates doing a lot of private practice work. And by private practice work, I mean we did a lot of business formation and litigation work, and we did some estate planning out there. I did criminal defense work out there as well. We did a lot of personal injury cases as well. And around 2011 or so, there was an election for the law director position for the city of Salina. And that's the position that I was elected to be in 2011. And basically, there's kind of two halves to that position. And the half that people find a little less entertaining to hear about is I give all the legal advice to the city of Salina. So if they want to enact a sidewalk program like they're talking about now, yep. I get to do the research and tell them, you can do this, you can't do that, here are your four options or whatever it is. And the other half of that, which is a little more pertinent to the municipal court, is that I'm the prosecutor for all of the misdemeanors that come through the municipal court. It is called the Salina Municipal Court, but it handles the entire county's misdemeanors. So if there's a misdemeanor committed here in Fort Recovery, or for over in Maria Stein or up in Rockford or wherever, it all comes through that court. So it's a countywide election, just so everybody knows. But I've been elected twice now to the prosecutor position of that court as the law director. And I've seen a lot up there. And I think I can do a very good job as the judge, because I'm very familiar with that court there. I've handled about 8,000 cases or so that have come through there since 2012. I've done about 250 trials. I've done at least 5 jury trials. I don't keep a tally mark behind me here, but I did try to go back a couple months ago and try to figure out. I know I've done at least 5 jury trials there. I've got a lot of experience in that particular court there. This court that I'm running to be the judge in, this is basically what I do. Yeah. If I'm in court, that's the court that I'm in. When I'm out of court, I'm across the street preparing cases for that court there. And like I said, occasionally I need to provide the city of Salina some legal advice on a civil issue, but that's probably, I'd guess, the civil end of what I do is probably 5-10% for the city. Everything else is the prosecution.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to come right back and learn more about George Eric Moore and the municipal court spot, and we'll be right back after this.
Hello, this is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and check out our new evening specials. On Monday evening, you can get a sub basket for only $7. Choose from one of our 7 different subs, plus your choice of 2 of our many sides. On Tuesday, it's our wing night featuring 50-cent wings and boneless wings and 75-cent drafts. On Wednesday evenings, you can get $3 off any large pizza, any toppings. Thursdays, you can get our hand-cut grilled or breaded tenderloin basket with your choice of 2 sides for only $5.50. And with all of our specials, you can eat here or take it home. Stop in any night and check out our new evening specials at Brick Street Tavern.
The bowling leagues are finished for the season at Miracle Lanes. That means there's more time for open bowling on weeknights. And don't forget to call ahead and reserve your lanes for birthday parties and other get-togethers. With bowling finished, Miracle Lanes is closed on Mondays, but the other six nights, you can call them for their great food. Get what you like from their great variety of wings, subs, and pizzas, or one of their great sandwiches, and more. Everybody can order their favorite. Call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274, then just drive through and pick it up. Winter's over, the warm weather's here, but your car is a mess. Call Hastings Auto Sales now to set up your appointment to get your car looking great again. You can get a professional wash and wax, or to make it look like new inside and out, ask about their complete detailing service. Whichever you choose, your car will look great. And the best part, you didn't have to do a thing except call Hastings Auto to set up your appointment. Call them now at 375-4617. Here are the baseball games coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow night, our Indians will host the Versailles Tigers in an MAC game, and it's Wing Night, sponsored by Brick Street Tavern. On Saturday, they'll host the Rushi Raiders in a doubleheader, with the first game starting at 11 a.m. Get to all the games you can this week to help cheer on our Indians, but if you just can't get to the games, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
That's right.
Is this correct? You wrote and performed this song?
Yes, actually.
Tell us a little bit about what you were talking about earlier with having sent this to the Reds.
Yeah, actually, this here is a song that I wrote. It's called And This One Belongs to the Reds. This is about my hobby of music. But last year, the Reds had won a couple games in a row in May, and I had,
those are the last two games they won all year.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't win too many. But after they'd won those games, I thought, well, wouldn't that be great if there was like a theme song out there about And This One Belongs to the Reds? And yep. I was a little disappointed, and I thought, well, I'm a wannabe songwriter. Why can't I write this song? So I did.
Yeah.
And then I went down. I recorded this in Nashville about 4, 5, 6 months ago at my buddy Danny Ramsey's place. He's originally from Salina there. And I've sent it to the Reds, and their front office is looking at how they might be able to use this song. And I actually just heard from ESPN Dayton Radio a couple of days ago. They are incorporating this into their pregame broadcast.
Now that is cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. That is good.
Well, and George, I tell you what, part of what this half hour is for is to allow the people that you listen to get to know George more. And I think to know that you're an avid Reds fan.
Yep. You definitely.
You love music.
You're a songwriter.
Yeah, yes.
Kind of like what we were talking about before, where it's not just all politics. You actually have that personality where, people will want to vote for you. And I think that's, super cool for people to know.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. I say that the law is my profession. Mm. Music is my hobby.
Yeah.
And I'm very passionate about both.
That's cool.
Well, good. So, so you're an avid Reds fan. You write songs. Married kids?
Talk
about your family.
Married to my high school sweetheart. She's listening. Hi, Lindsay.
Hello, Lindsay.
Howdy, Lindsay.
He is well-behaved here.
Oh, yeah.
They're telling you the truth, I promise.
Yes.
And we have three beautiful children. We have Maggie. She's almost 9 years old. And we have a middle child. His name is George. He goes by his initials, GW.
Yep.
And we have a baby who is 3 years old. He's the world's biggest baby. He's a sweetheart. His name is Jude. He was named after the Beatles song, Hey Jude.
Really? Well, nice. That's
nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Were you born and raised in the area?
Yes, born and raised up in Salina. Okay. I'm about a fifth generation Mercer County guy myself. Mm-hmm. So my kids are the sixth generation around here. And I've lived around here my whole life. The only time I ever went away, I did 2 years at the Wright State Lake campus studying political science back in 2000 to 02. Mm-hmm. And then I went to the main campus for Wright State in Dayton 03 and 04. Mm-hmm. We got married. We went on a 3-week honeymoon trip driving all around the western part of America. It was absolutely amazing.
It is cool. Neat. Yes.
Yeah. We went up up through Chicago, ate their deep dish pizza, went up to the Mall of America, which is just a big mall. I really wasn't impressed.
Yeah. But they have a Ferris wheel in there, don't they?
They do. Yeah, they've got, I think it's a mini roller coaster.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought it was a roller coaster.
Yeah. Well, they've got it all, but there's, I mean.
It's still just a mall.
It's a mall.
It all comes in.
They got a nice Dollar Tree there, which actually my favorite pens that I ever use are these right here. Yeah. I'm at Dollar Tree. So, and we went all out west. We went to Roswell, New Mexico, out to Las Vegas, Los Angeles. Lindsay's brother was
Roswell, New Mexico. Did you get into the Area 51 or whatever it is that where they keep all the aliens and all of that?
I was sworn to secrecy.
Oh, okay.
Well, we'll have to talk about that during the break.
That was neat. They had the street lamps in downtown Roswell instead of a regular globe. It's an alien head.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're playing up on it.
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, tourist attraction right there.
Yes. Sure, exactly. Well, you know, you've got the fort here in town.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
You know, play up on it.
Yeah.
Well, and there's aliens up on top of that. That's the reason we keep the top locked up.
Yeah. Is that right?
You weren't supposed to say that.
Oh, is that? Oh, okay.
I have to edit that out of the archives.
Well, the NSA's on us now. Yeah. Actually, little known fact, I shot a gun out of the fort here during the Civil War reenactment.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, Chris Bechtel did a lot of the actual legwork here.
Yeah, yeah.
But he and I were in close contact when he was doing a lot of the planning, because I'd done a lot of Civil War living history and reenacting.
That's really
from
cool.
From high school all the way up through now, which I don't get as much opportunity to go do that these days here, but I still do have all the gear, and I'll go do a living history event for maybe a day, but it's very difficult to get away with three kids at home.
Yeah.
And a job.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about your job. Okay, so you're in an elected position as the law director of the city of Salina.
Yes.
Okay. So what, I mean, there's many facets of law. What made you decide to go into, I don't know whether that's considered, civil law or, what made you decide to follow that path?
I just felt a calling, not only for public service, but also the law that is associated with that. I'd done a lot of different type of law out at Faber & Associates. We, had some very successful cases doing personal injury. We'd actually set a record-setting jury verdict down in Dark County. We ended up getting, I think it was about 24 times the amount that the insurance company had offered us for a settlement that came back from a jury award. So, we've done quite well in a lot of areas out there. I'm now just of counsel with them, which is kind of like an affiliated attorney. Mostly, I don't have the time for doing like any type of full-time legal practice. I devote my full-time to my law director position.
Yep.
But I had felt, a kind of a calling to doing prosecution work as opposed to doing criminal defense work. Both are important in the criminal justice system, but I felt that because I had done, 4+ years of doing criminal defense work, and I felt that that could really help me as far as evaluating cases and deciding, is there enough probable cause for this arrest to be made or for this to happen or for that to happen?
So when, you talked about having 5,000 cases over the years or?
A little north of 8,000 at this point.
8,000.
And counting.
Okay. So are the largest percentage of those traffic? Or doesn't that include traffic?
That does not include traffic. The cases that the municipal court handles about 8,000 cases a year in and of itself. The only cases that come to me is if you go before the judge, and that could be for a traffic case, maybe you got a DUI, maybe it's a 18, 19, 20-year-old underage consumption of alcohol, assault, domestic violence, cases like that for the criminal realm. If you go before the judge and you say, I'm not guilty, at that point, then the case comes over to me. So I'd say in the time that I've been there, doing some quick math, there's probably been 30,000 cases that have come through, and I've actually prosecuted about 8,000 of those. And that does include traffic, but a lot of those, it's a lot of criminal-type cases, assault, domestic violence, operating a vehicle under the influence, OVI cases, things like that.
Underage consumption type things?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we get those too.
Okay, so
if they're an adult.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't handle juveniles there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And who is the current judge in that position?
Judge Jim Scheer.
Jim
has been in that position since 1985.
Oh, wow. And
It's six-year terms, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. 6 years, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So the election that's coming up here, it's a primary only.
Yes.
So you can vote in November, but you're basically just, I don't mean to say rubber stamping, but you're just kind of giving the blessing
right.
to whoever actually wins in this contested primary okay. here. And then that individual will be the judge from 2018 for 6 years following that.
Okay.
So there isn't anyone running on the Democrat
yeah.
ticket?
Correct.
Could somebody...
somebody could file as an independent okay. or possibly as a write-in.
But once they get past a certain deadline, they can't do in the primary.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, you cannot run in the primary at this point. I believe the deadline for that was about Groundhog Day.
Okay.
Roughly.
Yeah, so to run in the general election, you have to run in the primary if you're doing Democrat or Republican.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
With both of you running as Republicans, and the judge now is a Democrat, right?
Yes.
In like being a judge, what are the
political?
What's the differences? Like, what are some things that you might differ with? You know, a Democrat.
You know, there's an interesting, I guess, set of rules when it comes to judicial races and political parties. Mm-hmm. A primary election is one of the only times you can actually identify yourself by party if you're a judge or judge candidate.
Okay.
So by nature of the fact that I'm running in a Republican primary, I can say I'm a Republican.
Okay.
If, let's say that there was a Democrat running against whoever wins coming up here in May, mm-hmm. on the ballot, it would not indicate R or D behind either of the names. And I think the state legislature's reasoning for that is, you know, you shouldn't let maybe political, whatever people think.
Political bias,
Yeah, you know, if you hear, oh, this party, mm-hmm. they're known to be, let's just say, soft on crime. I'm not naming any parties because mm-hmm. I don't want to go down that path.
This party's
soft on crime. This party here, you know, whatever. So they're trying to avoid that. And okay. I think they're trying to encourage folks to go out and do their own research on the candidates themselves.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So, which I think that's a good idea.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and I think a lot of folks are doing that here, even though it's a Republican primary. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there are a few differences between my opponent and myself. And I think a lot of people, we have very educated citizens and voters here in Mercer County, yeah. and they're doing their job.
Cool. So as you... And you know, this may not be the right terminology from a judge standpoint. So what's your platform, if there is such
sure.
a thing?
Sure, absolutely. In my 6th year of doing this job as law director here, I've seen a lot of things. I believe I understand how this court works. You know, there's a lot of nuances that every court has, whether it's, you know, our probate juvenile division that Judge Zitter is the judge of, or whether it's Common Pleas Court, Judge Ingram, or whether it's Municipal Court, which Judge Shear is currently the judge. I've come up with what I call a 5-point plan, and I believe I can make Mercer County a better and safer place with my 5-point plan here. And my first point of my plan is I want to create what's called a diversion program. A lot of courts around the state have a diversion program. We never have, and I think that we could benefit a lot from that. What that is there's certain crimes that take place that you've got society as your victim. Okay, so not like an assault, because if I punch you in the face, mm-hmm. you're a victim.
Yeah.
You know, let's say it's an underage consumption of alcohol. 19-year-old kid, man, I guess, you know, because you're not a yeah. kid at age 19. Yeah. You know, but you got a young man who's charged with underage consumption of alcohol, or perhaps like a speeding ticket, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's, 18, 19 or 60 plus or what, you know, whatever that is, age group. And you get this individual before the court. And right now, what I do is I try to figure out what's causing the issue. Why were you out drinking underage? Why were you speeding 15 miles an hour over the limit? So I try to figure out what that is. And if you have a reasonable reason for doing it, you know, and if I believe you're not going to be an ongoing repeat offender here, I want to work with you. I want to try to, you know, get you through the system as quickly and painlessly as possible, but still have you learn your lesson, so to speak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Problem is, a lot of the time, that's still going to go on your record. What a diversion program is it takes those same type of people and it would send them to, I mean, let's say it's like I like to use a Walmart theft case where it's, you know, truly you're stealing a couple movies because you need to sell them because you're hungry. Well, maybe you don't realize that there's, you know, various programs. We got Call Food Pantry up in Salina. I know there's a lot around here and mm-hmm. elsewhere too. You know, maybe you don't realize, one, that there's places around here that are designed to help you like that. There's a lot of churches and other groups that are wanting to help you. Mm-hmm. You know, at the same time, maybe you don't realize that the cumulative effect of theft from Walmart or wherever you're stealing from here, that really adds up. It's a bad thing for stores. So,
sure.
You know, so we'd send you to some type of counselor, which would explain this to you and try to figure out, why did you steal it? Maybe you stole it because you like the thrill of it. Well, that's different than if you're hungry or you want a big screen TV for the Super Bowl. I don't have a lot of sympathy for you if that's the case there.
Yeah.
So what you basically do...
But the game will look really good. I mean...
Yeah, that's right. Hey.
Hey, you know.
Priorities.
Yeah.
Well, they don't show the game in jail.
So. That's true. That's true.
But once you complete this education component here, what I would then do would say, okay, you now do not have this on your record here. We're going to keep an internal file. So if you come back, we're going to know. You're not going to get this treatment every time you come in here, but if you're a first timer, you know, a lot of these stupid mistakes that people make, there's a line, they've crossed it. I don't know that that should haunt them for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the first prong. Not all these prongs don't take as long to explain.
Yeah. Well, let's take a little break, and we'll come back right after this to talk about your last four prongs.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who's dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
Spring is here, the season for celebrating graduation parties, family parties, and the beginning of those delicious cookouts. We have a great Pick 5 selection for all fresh meat products ready for you and your family. Great for grilling in any weather. Graduation is also right around the corner. Keep us in mind for all your catering needs. Also, pre-book any party trays now with our deli team. We would love to service you for all your needs. As always, thanks for shopping. Wayne IGA, Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Fort Recovery Insurance Agency.
I need to talk to Tyler.
Which Tyler do you mean?
My brother Tyler. He was out looking for Ralph, our dog.
Why would your brother be here looking for Ralph, your dog?
I told Tyler that you had something for everyone. So he said he was going to look there.
Well, we do have something for everyone with insurance coverage for your home, auto, farm, or business from Ohio Mutual. Maybe you should ask your parents for help.
Can I speak to my mom?
We've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call 888-375-4181.
Breakfast with Bill every weekday morning right here on FortRecoveryRadio.com.
1982, Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical Cats open in Broadway.
Yeah, I didn't look up any of the Cats.
Nah, I don't care about Cats.
Okay, we'll move on then.
Well, but you can sing some.
That's all right.
Sing that one.
Rock.
At night and the kitties are sleeping.
That's not the real words. Those are Letterman's.
That was good.
Words to it, but it's...
Oh, hilarious. Yeah. That was better than what Dane Neal could have put on there.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We're back.
Sorry, I'm talking about
you
the cheese
can't
tray.
Be talking during the commercial break. So
even if it's about the cheese tray,
listen,
that's not down in front of me.
The cheese tray is why I come here. This is my dinner.
That's your dinner too. So I tell you what, welcome back to Insight. We're talking to George Eric Moore, the candidate for Salina Municipal Court Judge, and George is touching on his five prongs for his platform. You covered the first one, which is to create a diversion program.
Yes.
What's your second one?
Well, I forgot to mention, I guess we ran out of time before, but I wanted to say one of the very positive things about my five-point plan here is it would be paid for by court costs by those who actually use the court. rather than everybody in Mercer County. There's two ways to have people pay for what I'd like to do, and I think it's more fair if you charge the folks that are using the court system rather than all of us. So, and a lot of these here are optional. You don't have to go through the diversion program. If you just say, well, I just, you know, I'll just admit that I was, that I had stole from Walmart, I'll go take my punishment and move on. Well, okay, then you don't get, you shouldn't get tagged with the expense here for the diversion program.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you want to use it, I think that you are the one that should have to be paying for it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, kind of on the other end of the spectrum, you know, as opposed to your first timers here, I'm talking about the ongoing repeat offenders here. These are the folks, I know who they are as the prosecutor. You all know who they are by reading the names in the newspaper. You know, you see the same folks. I'm not going to name any names. That would be inappropriate here. But what the court is doing now is not working. And I see it as the prosecutor. I recommend the sentences. I don't hand them out. As the judge, I would deal more harshly the more ongoing repeat offender that a person is. If you're in for the 5th, the 10th, the 20th time, we do have those folks. What we're doing right now is not working. And I mean, that's not to just use the power of the court because you have it. It's to protect society from those people, and often to protect them from themselves. Prong three is somewhat related here to the being harsher prong with the ongoing repeat offenders, but prong three deals with creating a probation department. Again, this would be paid for by court costs here. Probation department, they exist in a lot of courts. We have them in juvenile court. We have them in felony court. We're kind of in the middle of those two courts, and we don't have a probation department. And I find that to be troubling because oftentimes people that are in the system a lot, they can benefit kind of from that helping hand of a probation officer, somebody to make sure that, you know, this individual here is testing clean when it comes to having a drug problem. You know, we all like to go out and have a drink or two, but sometimes people can't handle that. And so, you know, if you get very drunk and you cause a bar fight, maybe you shouldn't be out drinking in the bar. Right now, there's really no backup to make sure that they're not out drinking in the bar. I'd like to, whoever hires a probation officer, I'd like to have them go out and do a bar check here and there. You know, you need to make sure you're following the court order.
So this probation officer would be paid for through
court costs.
The court costs.
Right, okay. Exactly. Again, I don't think it's fair that you charge all the taxpayers for services that just a few of us in the county are using. So the fourth prong here, people have kind of affectionately called it night court, but it's actually evening court, okay? Because that gets confused with the 80s sitcom. But I want to establish at least two nights a month from maybe about 5 to 9 p.m. or so. I would like to establish some evening court hours. And the reason for that is there's a lot of people, I'm not just talking defendants, but there are some defendants, there's a lot of speeders that can't take off Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, when the court's in session. There's a lot of people that are the victim of a crime. You know, I've got a trial coming up where it's a school teacher who, it was here in Mercer County, and the defendant is accused of kicking her door in. He was drunk, thought he was in the wrong place, but kicked her door in, stands there, didn't do anything else, just asked where somebody was, and she says, get out of here, so he did. Well, she's already substitute teaching for somebody else who's taking off, and she's calling our office this week saying, well, you know, how am I supposed to go up here and do this? Well, if I were the judge, I would then set that for an evening hours type of scenario here, because I think it's the way that justice could be best done by having all of your, you know, your victim, all your witnesses up there, rather than try to figure out the best alternate plan to make that happen. So the fifth and final prong, I know we're running short on time here. The fifth and final prong would be to upgrade the court technology by doing a couple of things. One, right now, if there's something filed with the court, our court staff does a great job, but they type it in shorthand, kind of what the document says. And I think that society can benefit from and be a lot safer if we can actually go in and read, like, let's say, if you have a no-contact order in a domestic violence case, it says, you know, that the man has to stay 500 feet away from the woman. And then there's a couple other conditions in there. And maybe they don't get typed in correctly or whatever. You could go in and view the actual document in instant time to see what it is. And also, the court's pretty much already wired up for what I call video conferencing. I'd like to be able to keep our officers on the street more rather than have them doing transports, et cetera, to try to keep the streets safer. And there's times I think it's appropriate where you could be talking on a TV screen to a defendant at court rather than transporting them from rural Mercer County into Salina. The officer sits there with them and then transports them back. Mm-hmm. Again, that would all be paid for by court costs, not by everybody's taxes.
Cool. Well, I tell you what, those all seem like very valid ideas, and let's kind of remind everybody that the election is the first Tuesday in May, correct?
Yes.
May 2nd. Regular polling places.
Yep.
Where everybody's always gone.
Yep. 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Yep. And George Eric Moore, you're a pretty sharp guy. I love the fact you're a Reds fan, you're a family man, and man, I heard that you sang for Marty Brenneman. Is that true?
Yes, I did. I went up to the Niswonger Center back in November, and I had worked it out with the staff up at Niswonger as a surprise to Marty. And the song you hear, and this one belongs to the Reds. Yep. I played it for Marty, and he absolutely loved it. His wife actually took a video of it. So he and I gave him, I gave him a CD of it. A couple months later, there was a Reds caravan that had come through, and Bill Montgomery with Salina Insurance was there, and he said, "Hey, Marty," he says, "this is the guy that wrote that Reds song," and Marty said, "Hi, George. How have you been, buddy?" I cannot believe he remembered my name 4 months later, but Marty loves the song, and he signed my guitar case. I've had Hal McCoy, the Reds beat writer.
Yeah.
He signed it, and then my first Reds player to sign it is Doug Flynn, who was the glue of the Big Red Machine.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to play it for Pete Rose coming up here.
That's coming up, yeah.
I only let Reds players sign my guitar case, no musicians.
There you go. But George, I tell you what, I wish you the best of luck on May 2nd. Mercer County is awfully lucky that we're blessed with quality individuals to run for all of our spots.
I agree.
And I wish you well come May 2nd. And trust me, if I'm ever standing before you, it was because my wife made me do it. Okay. So, yeah. And I wish you well on May 2nd and your plans in the future.
Well, thank you. Thank you all for having me here. God bless you all.
Thanks.
God bless.
Thanks, George.
This is the first thing you hear after the power goes out. Silence. But that doesn't last very long. The next thing you hear is complaining, then the inevitable whining. No TV, no power for laptops and tablets. How long do you think their cell phone will last without a recharge? How about your cell phone? Now's the time to call Reasoner Energy and talk about Generac generators. Not only do they operate quietly, a Generac generator from Reasoner will silence complaining and whining. Call 419-678-4858.
The Feed and Animal Division of Cooper Farms in Fort Recovery, Ohio has an array of employment opportunities available. We are looking for eager, dedicated, and skilled individuals to join our team. A list of employment opportunities can be found online at cooperfarms.com or by calling 419-375-4116. Cooper Farms is more than a workplace and offers a wonderful benefits package, including a free on-site medical facility, a monthly gain-sharing bonus program, paid time off, and much, much more. Contact us today about joining our team.
Visit the 47-acre campground at Rossburg Acres. There are plenty of permanent and short-term camping sites available with water and electric hookups. Call 419-375-4944 or 419-852-0115 to make your reservations. If you are planning a party or a get-together, there are two large shelter houses available for rent on Sundays. One of these is sure to meet your needs. Make sure your reservations are in advance by calling 419-375-4944 or 419-852-0115 or visit RossburgAcres.com.
It's time for
for the annual VFW Cancer Dance. It'll be this Saturday night, April 22nd, starting at 7 p.m. Anthems and Alibis will be playing all night, and you don't need to be a VFW member to step out and support a good cause. There'll be an auction, and they're going to be giving out lots of raffle prizes donated by local businesses, and all proceeds will go to local cancer associations. Head on out to the VFW this Saturday night for this fun annual event, the Cancer Dance with Anthems and Alibis, open to the public. It starts at 7 with lots of prizes and an auction that night.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials. Starting at 11 o'clock Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Lasagna Thursday, and our famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger on Friday. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evenings, including steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, complemented by a large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
Spring is here, the season for celebrating graduation parties, family parties, and the beginning of those delicious cookouts. We have a great Pick 5 selection for all fresh meat products ready for you and your family. Great for grilling in any weather. Graduation is also right around the corner. Keep us in mind for all your catering needs. Also, pre-book any party trays now with our deli team. We would love to service you for all your needs. As always, thanks for shopping. Wayne IGA, Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Hey, welcome, Insight, Jack Stogler, Mr. Perry Hall. And Perry's got his mouth full again.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's why it's there.
Incredible.
But stop being like a waiter and stop asking him questions as soon as he puts food in his mouth.
I'm just going to like push these more towards Kathy.
There you go. Good idea.
Thank you.
So I tell you what, we just got done talking to George Moore, and I welcome in studio now George's opponent in the May 2nd election, Catherine Spielman, who is running for the Salina Municipal Court judgeship. And welcome, Kathleen.
For the second time, right? Second time she's been here, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I was back here. I was in here stepped in January.
The return.
That's right.
Yes, it's a return trip.
Yeah, and also in studio is Mr. Jeff Gray.
Hi, Jack.
And Jeff is here.
Sheriff just tried to hijack us.
Jeff's just here from a moral support standpoint, right, Jeff?
Right, I am.
And to also keep Jack under control.
That's why I brought him along.
That's right.
I'm making sure Jack doesn't pick on Kathy. I want everybody to know that I'm supporting Kathy.
Personal bodyguard right here.
So, Kathy, I tell you what, I'd like to take the next half hour and let the people of Fort Recovery and Fort Recovery Radio get to know you.
Sure, okay? I appreciate that.
And then to learn about your thoughts and your vision as Salina Municipal Court Judge.
Sure.
Okay. So let's start with a get to know Kathy Spielman.
Okay.
Okay. So your new history, where you're from.
Okay, sure. Well, I grew up on a dairy farm in Fort Laramie, and I grew up in a very large family, and went off to college at Ohio State, and then I had worked for several years. After going to Ohio State, I worked for Wells Fargo Mortgage Company, and in doing that, I worked with a lot of different attorneys and had saw different aspects of the law, and I decided that I wanted to go back to law school, and so I quit my job and went to law school. I moved up to Toledo, and I went to University of Toledo Law School. I actually went in the night program, and then I got a job working for a title company all day long, and then I went to law school at night. I was still able to graduate in 3 years, which is the normal time to go to law school when you're going full-time. So I'd work full-time during the day, went to law school at night, graduated, and then I took a job in Toledo, bought a house, thought I was going to stay up in Toledo the rest of my life, and then came home one weekend and met my husband, and then I moved back home, as they all say. So we live over in Maria Stein, and we have three boys. Ryan is an assistant professor at Pittsburgh State University out in Kansas. My son Tyler is an optometrist over in Coldwater, and then our son Max is a student at Marion Local.
Wow, that is
pretty accomplished.
Very, very
right there.
Impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, very proud of our kids.
Yeah, that's neat.
Good reason.
So just so I understand what it takes to be a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
Okay, because I'm still thinking about it.
Okay.
You have to have a bachelor's degree.
You do.
In anything?
In anything. My bachelor's degree was in marketing and finance.
Okay. So it can be in anything, and then you go to law school, obviously, after that. So okay. they're really not tied together. When people say pre-law, there's no degree in pre-law. They just major in, you know, they say that in the beginning, but you get your bachelor's degree in anything, and then you go on to law school.
Okay. So what made you, okay, and you are an attorney now where?
I am an attorney over in Coldwater. I practice with Judy Kesters, and I've done that for nearly 20 years now.
Okay. And what sort of cases do you handle mostly?
Well, we do just about everything. I do a lot of criminal law. I do a lot of felony work, misdemeanor work. We do a lot of estate planning, a lot of business formation, LLCs, corporations. I used to do a lot of domestic relations, and that's like divorces, dissolutions, custody. I don't do that very much anymore. I quit doing that almost 11, 12 years ago. I quit doing that. So I do it occasionally. If they're not fighting over custody, then I will still do domestic relations. But it was very difficult to watch families go through stuff like that. And so as my business grew and I was able to do other things, and I don't do that as much anymore.
Yeah, that could be draining without a doubt.
Yeah, very emotional. Yeah. Very emotional.
So the municipal court judgeship comes up, and, you know, I mean, there's probably 50 attorneys in the county. And so what made you decide, you know what, I think I'd be a great fit for a municipal court judge?
That's a good question, Jack. Well, I'm in that court all the time as a defense attorney. I represent a lot of people. And when I say that, it's like OVIs, domestic violence, assault. I'm in that court quite a bit. I'm also in common police court doing felony work as well. So just being in court all the time, work with the judges, had a lot of respect for them, a lot of admiration. And we knew that Judge Shear obviously was getting older. He's 68.
Watch it now.
He was getting near retirement age, let me say it like that. So he'll have 32 years in at the end of this year. Yeah. So a couple of years ago, he and I talked about it, and I told him I had an interest, and he really encouraged me. And about a year ago, he had a position open to be an acting judge, and what that is whenever Judge Shear is not on the bench, I fill in for him. And I've been doing that since last summer. It's been going great. I feel I do a good job at it. And really, he wanted me to, he said, Kathy, before you know, you've built your private practice for all these years, almost 20 years. He said, before you run for judge and win, he said, I want you to know what it's like to be the judge. Because it's very stressful. And obviously, you're making very difficult decisions that really affect a lot of people and affect their lives and their families. And it affects the whole, obviously, the whole county. What goes on in the municipal court. And so he said, why don't you be acting judge, see if you like it. And then, so, you know, if you win the election, you didn't give up your private practice and find that you don't like being a judge. So I've been doing it since last summer, like I said, almost a year now, and it's been a great experience. I've truly enjoyed it.
So as the defense attorney in this court, you have faced George Moore on opposite sides probably quite a bit in the past few years, correct?
Yeah, past 5 years or so since George has been the city law director. Yes, we've been on opposite sides. We get along fine. We're friendly with each other, and, you know, we all work together, and we're going to work together after this election. So when this all first happened, and when he said he was going to run, you know, we sat down together, quite honestly, and we talked to each other. I said, George, you know, we're friendly with each other now. Let's, you know, we're going to work together more than likely until the day we retire. So I said, let's keep this above board. And so far, I think we pretty much have.
Who wins more cases, you or him?
You don't have to answer that.
You don't have to answer
that. I do pretty well.
George kind of explained the functions of the municipal court as the defense attorney. Okay. Are like most of your cases, you are hired by that person, or is it a court ordered type thing?
Like a court appointed. I'm usually retained in municipal court.
Okay.
And meaning people hire me. For example, if somebody gets an OVI over the weekend, they'll call me either at home on a Sunday, which is fine. That happens. Or they'll call me Monday morning at the office, and they'll come in and they hire me to represent them in whatever matter it is that they need me for. So usually I'm retained in the municipal court. When it comes to the felony level, since we don't have a public defender, a lot of the attorneys were on a rotating list, and we all take felony court-appointed cases usually.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Jeff, how did you get to know Kathy?
Well, because she defends the bad guys that we arrest. but a lot of times we are on the opposite sides of the fence. You know, being sheriff, I'm in that unique position where I know all of the attorneys that do criminal work. I don't know all the stuff on the civil side. Mm-hmm. And I got to know Kathy more on the professional level than anything else. I've been impressed with her work. I mean, she's an attorney I would certainly consider hiring. Hopefully I would never need to hire her. But
that doesn't mean you can't be falsely accused of something and need an attorney.
That's true. But, you know, and the other thing is, you know, we're all in this together, the defense attorneys, the prosecutors, and the cops. It's all about following the Constitution and enforcing the laws. And I tell deputies when we hire them, you know, the defense attorneys aren't the bad guys. We're supposed to follow the law, which means proof beyond a reasonable doubt. The defense attorney's job is to try to cast doubt, to make sure we've done our job. You really don't want to give us cops. I'd like to have all that power, but you really don't want to give it to me. So I've just been impressed as I've watched Kathy's career. It's kind of interesting because up until the last couple of months, I only knew Kathy professionally, and I was impressed with her work. You know, her opponent talked to me on December 1st about he was thinking about running and wanted to know if I would support him. I had heard that Kathy was going to run, and I told him that I was going to support Kathy and the reasons why. And it's interesting because Kathy didn't know me well enough to call me. I reached out to her and said, if you need any help, if I can help you, I will. If you want me to stay out of the way, I'll do that too. And so Kay and I have gotten to know Kathy and her husband, Mark, the last couple of months, just because we've been running around together a lot to different places.
It's been a lot of fun campaigning. Had a lot of great people, including everyone here tonight.
Yeah. So this has been a long couple of months, though, hasn't it?
It has. It's kind of, to be honest with you, it's been fast and furious, because a lot of times when a judge is going to retire, you know that a year ahead of time. That's pretty common. But Judge Shear was going to, in October, he told me he thought he was going to run again, but I think all his family, his girls all came home for Thanksgiving and kind of said, Dad, you know, you're 68, maybe it's time. And so he called me at home the weekend of Thanksgiving on Saturday night and said, Kathy, I'm not going to run. So, like I said, so it's pretty much fast and furious from there. Usually you have a year to go to all the different meetings in the town, you know, your community club. I've been there, and the different Kiwanis and Lions clubs and fire departments. And so usually you have a year. So it's been pretty much every night of the week going to speak at different engagements and meet different people and attend events all weekend long, but it's been great. It's been a lot of fun.
Before you know, coming here and you know, studying up on, you know, your campaign and whatnot, I saw on your Facebook page that you're going all over these places. And one place I saw was you went up to that place up in Mendon where it's like Parker Road or something like that. Or Palmer Road.
Palmer Cemetery,
Did you see any ghosts?
No, we didn't, but my son was very, very intrigued. No, it was great, because I'd never been to the Palmer Cemetery. Mm-hmm. I say that's one of the neatest things about this entire election, or the campaign promises, or campaign trail that I'm on here, is I haven't been to Mendon and Rockford as many times as what I have been in the past 6 months. It's great. It's just, you know, I live over in Maria Stein, so, you know, you're going from one end of the county to the other. I actually get to Fort Recovery quite a bit. I actually live on Fort Recovery Minster Road. But so I get over here quite a bit, but going up to Mendon and Rockford, it's been great. I've met a lot of wonderful people all over the county.
That's cool.
So so when you look at the yard signs, okay, Southern Mercer County has all these blue ones, okay, that says Spielman all over the place. And then if you get into Salina, you see more of the George Moore thing. So is there anything political from a Southern Mercer County to a Salina standpoint that creates a divide there?
That's that's kind of hard to say. I think a big thing of it, you know, I live in Southern Mercer County. I've got it, you know, all, between my husband and I, we have a ton of first cousins. You know how it is. We all grew up in these very large families. And so mm-hmm. we've got a lot of family in Southern Mercer County. I have some, you know, I have a lot of, there's a lot of blue Salinas in Salina too, Jack.
Okay. So.
And up north. But I, you know, to answer your question, I don't know what it is. Obviously, George lives in Salina and I live down here. So, you know, it's kind of your family and your friends support you. And yeah. not just that, but it's, you know, people, clients, and just different people over the years. I've met a lot of great people.
And I think we've seen the same thing in past elections, whether it was auditor or you know, whatever it was, that there's, and there's a lot of power in Southern Mercer County. I mean, there's a, you know, we're all spread out all over hell, but we vote like crazy, you know,
yeah.
and we have great turnout, and I, you know.
Fort Recovery, I can tell you from experience, is very, very important. I will never forget Fort Recovery is who put me over the top. And that's one of the reasons why I'm here with Kathy. I'm hoping my friends here in Fort Recovery will take my word for it. I really believe Kathy will be a great judge.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah. Thank you.
And I'll tell you what, we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back and talk about your platform and your philosophy as you prepare to enter this judgeship.
Very good. Thank you, okay. Jack.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Did you know the most stable skid steer on earth is now even more powerful? The L234 Super Boom Skid Steer Loader from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery offers 90 horsepower with increased hydraulics, breakout force, lift capacity, and comfort. You get the superior visibility, stability, and easy maintenance you expect from New Holland. Stop by K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery today to learn more about the high-performance New Holland L234 Skid Steer Loader.
Hi, I'm Flounder. Jay County Civic Theater will be performing The Little Mermaid.
We have shows scheduled for April 27th, 28th, and 29th at 7 p.m. and a matinee at 2 p.m. on April 30th. Tickets are $7 for students and $10 for adults, and they're available at Arts Place at 131 East Walnut Street in Portland, or by calling 260-726-4809 or online at www.artsland.org.
So come see me, Ariel, in The Little Mermaid. We want you to be part of our world. Watch and you'll see. Someday I'll be part of your world.
The Fort Recovery Community Club is sponsoring their fourth annual golf open Saturday, May 13th, 1 o'clock in the afternoon at the Portland Country Club. $50 per golfer and sign up individually with handicap at Miracle Lanes, Hastings Auto, Tin Snips, or call or text Steve Diller at 419-852-3887. The deadline to sign up is May 6th. As always, the Fort Recovery Community Club appreciates your support and looks forward to seeing you out on the course Saturday, May 13th, 1 o'clock at the Portland Country Club.
Here are the baseball games coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow night, our Indians will host the Versailles Tigers in an MAC game, and it's Wing Night, sponsored by Brick Street Tavern. On Saturday, they'll host the Rushi Raiders in a doubleheader, with the first game starting at 11 a.m. Get to all the games you can this week to help cheer on our Indians, but if you just can't get to the games, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back, Insight with Jack Stogler. And, you know, we're going to focus this show on talking to the candidates for judge, but Perry Hall has made it a Guinness Book of World Record for eating cheese and cold meat.
And every time we come back, I have to just push it a little further this way because
so,
I don't have the longest arms of the world anyway. So
Perry's up to 3.4 pounds of cold meat in the past 40 minutes. So, but we do welcome Kathy Spielman, the candidate for Stoney Municipal Court Judge. Sheriff Jeff Gray has joined us.
And before the break, we talked about, you know, what's your philosophy or what's your platform as you prepare to take over for Judge Scheer. So can you share a little bit about your philosophy?
Sure. I'm very traditional in my beliefs. It's just kind of how I grew up, who I am. I'm very conservative in my beliefs. My platform is really, I have nearly two decades of experience, almost twice as much as my opponent with regard to length of being an attorney. So I think with that experience, not just the legal experience, but kind of life experiences, I turned 47 the week of the election, and so I always kind of tease my opponent that I'm over more than two terms older than him. They're six-year terms, so I always tease him that I'm more than two terms older than him. And in all seriousness, it's kind of like with that life experience and legal experience together, I think it's going to enable me to make good decisions with the people who are standing in front of me when I'm the judge. And by that, I mean, like, you have to judge them, judge their character, judge their demeanor. Are they taking things seriously? Are they, you know, do I have their attention as a judge? I do that now when I'm the acting judge. Sometimes people stand up there and, you know, you can tell. And I think that's just something you learn over time with different life and legal experience. You learn to judge people. And that's something, you know, that's what you're there for as the judge, and to make the disposition to give a sentence. And so that's, I just feel I've got the overall experience that's needed to be the judge.
So, you know, when you talked about getting their attention, is there an issue with there being a female underneath the robe with you, some people?
That's hard for me to answer. I'm not sure. I mean, I am who I am. I mean, I think, you know, I get people's attention when they're in court now. Yeah. I'm kind of stern. I'm stern with my kids. I was very strict with them growing up. And, you know, my parents were strict with me. And so when people stand in front of me, I demand their attention. I demand that they're going to, respect the court. I think we need, you know, formality in the court. I go to all different courts, you know, between Auglaize, Dark, Van Wert, Shelby counties. And it's just something that there's a certain decorum and a certain respect that is, and I'm the judge, you know, you command respect when you're in there, and not that I would ever abuse that respect, but I think people, you know, it's serious. If they're in the court of law and they, you know, they've broken the law and there's some crime that's committed, it's a serious situation, and it needs to be taken serious by the defendants who are standing in there.
So do you think that coming from the defense attorney side versus George coming from the prosecution side, would there be a difference between the way that you would approach how you judge on the bench?
Well, to be honest with you, Jack, I had formerly worked at the Shelby County Prosecutor's Office as well. So I've worked at a prosecutor's office, I've been a defense attorney, and I've also been the judge. So is there a difference? I just try to use common sense. I try to be very, you know, look at the situation, look at the overall picture here. What's going to be the best thing for this person? I mean, do they have an addiction problem? Do they have a, you know, are there family problems? Is there something going on? If, you know, especially if they're back in court more than once, what was it that didn't get their attention the first time? Why are they back? Do things need to be looked into more? But again, I just, you know, I feel that I use common sense. And I think that's something that Judge Scheer, you know, he's always told me too. He said, Kathy, you have good judicial temperament. You're going to look at the overall picture and try to do what's best for the person who's standing in front of you.
So there's a certain amount of flexibility and autonomy that a judge has in, you know, most of these cases from a, you know, sentencing standpoint.
Yeah, the judge has quite a bit of discretion. There are certain, now keep in mind, these are misdemeanors only that go through municipal court. All the felonies are over at the Common Pleas Court with Judge Ingram. So these are misdemeanors, and depending on, you know, a minor misdemeanor is a non-jailable offense. And then you go all the way down to a misdemeanor of the first degree, which is the most serious misdemeanor. So yeah, within that, within those parameters, the judge does have quite a bit of discretion as to, you know, does somebody go to jail? Did they go to jail for 1 day, 3 days, 5, 6 months on a misdemeanor of the first degree? What is it? So, yeah, the judge has quite a bit of discretion, and that's where you need to use your common sense and be able to judge the situation and judge the person standing in front of you and try to figure out what's best for them so that they're not back in front of you.
So as you're trying to work this through your mind, okay, and I just find this really interesting because to a certain extent, I go through a little bit of that from an HR standpoint, you know, from a discipline, does a person lose its job, his job, or
sure,
whatever?
Sure, sure.
So how much do you weigh the person's needs versus society's needs?
That's a great question, because obviously you want to, you know, there's a couple of goals with regard to a sentence, rehabilitation and also protecting the public. And so you just have to, again, use your best judgment, your common sense. What is necessary here? Do they need to be in jail? Not only, sometimes it's not only to protect the public, but to protect themselves. More so in the felony cases, you know, with some of the drug situations that we have going on, a lot of times Judge Ingram will put people in jail or keep them in jail, just so
it's
that they...
It's the safest place.
It's the safest place for them. And a lot of times we hear family members say, you know, as much as they want their child out or their family member out, they know they're safe and they're not, you know, not going to be using if they're in jail, which is very, very sad. But the only drug that goes through municipal court is marijuana. Any cocaine, meth, heroin, those are all felonies, regardless of the level. Those all go through common pleas court with Judge Ingram. They would go through municipal court just to set bond. That's it. And then they transfer over to the common pleas court with Judge Ingram. So, yeah, marijuana is typically the only drug that goes through municipal court.
Okay. So, and I don't know whether I'm getting too political here, but so should marijuana be legalized?
Oh boy! Well,
well, hard-hitting questions, right here.
Was. The sheriff says no.
Yeah. Is that right?
What about for medicinal purposes? Legitimate medicinal.
Well, there hasn't been enough study done on it,
okay,
for them to have that. Every other drug that you get prescribed or anything else, there's been a lot of study,
yep,
and a lot of tests done on it, and there's already THC is the ingredient that in marijuana that they're after, and there's already drugs that doctors can prescribe to you with THC in it. One of the problems with marijuana is it's grown, and how do you control the strength of it? When you go across the street to Calps, every pill you buy is exactly the same.
Yes.
Marijuana is not that way. I'll shut up now because we're supposed to be talking about the judge, but...
No, Jack, I can answer you. I mean, personally, no, I do not believe it should be legalized. That's just my personal belief. I'm not saying I'm right, but that's my... I'm very conservative and very traditional in my values.
Yep. And as like you look at the cases that you will hear on the bench, okay, are the biggest percentage of them drug related or?
No, not municipal court. The biggest percentage is traffic.
Okay.
There's between 7,000 and 8,000 cases every year in the municipal court. Roughly 5,000 are traffic, roughly 1,000 criminal, and then roughly 1,000 civil. That's the other side. People forget about the civil end of the court. Even though there's only 1,000 cases, they're very time intensive. So probably half of the judge's time is spent doing civil cases. And that's things like landlord tenant evictions, contracts, collection issues. When people sue each other. So that happens quite a bit in that court as well. Everybody wants to focus on the criminal end because that's the side that always makes the newspaper and that's the side that, you know, always grabs everybody's attention, but that's only half the court. And that's something else I wanted to point out with regard to my campaign and my platform is I do that kind of stuff day in and day out at my office in Coldwater. All the contract issues, all the, you know, landlord-tenant, all the collection, all the contracts that have gone wrong. So I do that in addition to doing a lot of criminal work. So I feel I've got the well-rounded experience that's needed to be judged.
So as like, and we're getting close to the end of our time. So as like, we get closer to you May 2nd, okay? What do you want the people of Fort Recovery, Fort Recovery Radio, and all of you Mercer County to know about you and why they should, punch that button on May 2nd for new Kathy Spielman?
Well, I think the biggest thing is we're just a normal family. We're just like everybody else. I'm going to treat everybody with dignity and respect. That's what I would want, how I would want to be treated. And I just have the experience to best judge the people as they come through there. Again, been an attorney for almost 2 decades. It takes experience to be able to read the people, to understand the law, to understand the whole totality of the situation. I use common sense. I think I have a good judicial temperament, again, and I can look at the whole big picture and try to figure out what is going to be the best person, or how do you fix this case? You can't fix everything, but how do you decide? How do you rule in a case? And so I just think I'm the best person for the job, quite honestly. And yep. I wouldn't run if I didn't think I was going to be the best person for the position. Mm-hmm. I truly wouldn't run. But
and you've got this guy next to you that kind of supports that too, right, Jeff?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Her opponent is a nice guy, and I like George. We need the experience, and we need the judgment that Kathy has built over the last couple of decades. And I wouldn't put my name to it. You guys know me. I wouldn't put my name with Kathy Spielman if I didn't think she was going to be a great judge.
Yeah, but you've also given Bill Stogler your cell phone number.
That was a mistake. That was a mistake. I think you have it, too.
Yeah, I do. I tell you what. You know, Mercer County is blessed in that almost every time that we have an opening for an elected position, we get quality individuals to run for it. And mm-hmm. Kathy, this is the second time we've talked, and I'm tremendously impressed. George came in and did a very nice job, and what we do know is that on May 2nd, we're going to have a quality individual fill that spot. And, Kathy, I wish you nothing but the best on May 2nd. I hope that I don't have to stand in front of you and say it was my wife's fault. Okay. I wish you well.
I wouldn't mind seeing you in my jail.
Well, you can make something up.
Yeah.
You can make something up.
It doesn't, the charge man. Doesn't have to stick. You just have to get him in there for just long enough to get a mug shot.
You got a trophy right there.
Yeah. You know what? I'm ugly enough and old enough that people would leave me alone anyway. So,
well, Jack, I very much appreciate you having me here. It's
fantastic
been a pleasure.
Job.
Thank you.
You're a wonderful lady. I wish you and your family well.
Thank you.
Holy cow, with kids that like you've got, I mean, I'm sure they're paying for your campaign, right? I mean,
yeah.
Holy moly. So I tell you what, very, very, very impressive lady and family. And
thank you.
We wish you well on May 2nd.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Kathy. Thanks, Jeff.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
So, Jack, are we going to do the outro now?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
What else are you going to do?
That was fun, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it's great to be able to like talk to people that are running for office like that. And then what's even better, to watch Perry Hall eat 4 pounds of cold meat in a 25-minute period. Perry?
I did not touch the thing after you called me out.
Oh, that was incredible.
That's just mean, Jack. It's there to eat.
I know.
What am I going to do with it if they don't eat it?
I got to save some for these two back then.
Nah, they're not going to starve. They'll be okay.
We are coming up with Sports Talk with Bob and Fee. You got anybody on?
We ain't got enough time now.
Here we go. So stay tuned, everybody, for Bob and Fee and Sports Talk. For Jack Stoglis' insight next week, I think.
And Perry Hall. Some,
and me, Perry Hall.
No, and Mr.
Yeah,
Perry Hall.
I jump in there once in a while.
Perry is here for the free food. Okay.
I have no problem with that.
No problem.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll be back next Wednesday.
We'll see.
This is Jack Stoglis for Insight. And
Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.